We'll call the meeting to order the special trustees special session. It is now 6:01. Introduction of new board member, oath of office. Now, who does that?
I can do that.
And I believe her name is Melissa Fee. Am I correct? All right.
That's right.
All right. Welcome aboard. So you're going to have to go over here. Or are you going to sit?
Do we want to do the oath and then do introductions or introductions?
We'll
and then
do the oath and then we want to do the oath. Then we'll do the introduction. She might leave before then.
I might run.
All right. Do you want to just stand up and we can do it this way?
Okay.
All right. And do you want me to read it or you want to just read it off yourself?
I can just read it.
Okay.
I swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Trustee of the Great River Regional Library System according to the best of my judgment and ability.
All right. Perfect. Thanks, Melissa.
Congratulations. And you have your speech ready, too, for this?
No, I had to do a speech.
So do we want to wait till the end to give our introduction, or should we do it right now? Tell her who we are. Let's do it right now.
How's it do it now?
Let's start with Jane.
I'm Jane Dietz. I'm a citizen trustee out of Sherburne County. I live in Elk River.
Lisa Bobie, Sherburne County Commissioner.
Ed Pop, Benton County Commissioner.
I'm Carlin Forner. I'm a Stearns County citizen representative, and I used to be the newest board member until you've arrived.
I thought you were last time.
Mm-hmm. I'm Mary Eberly, a citizen rep from Sherburne County.
Annie Willetso, administrative assistant.
I'm Randy Wincher, a Morrison County commissioner.
Karen Punsack, director.
Ryan Rambler, Stearns County.
Dan Bravender, Wright County.
Jeff Bertram, Stearns County.
Lee Lensmeyer, Stearns Commissioner.
Michael Potter, Wright County Commissioner.
Wayne Bauernschmidt, Wright County at large.
You guys have the mic on?
Brandy Cantor, Patron Services Supervisor.
Ryan McCormick, also Patron Services Supervisor, which is like a regional manager.
I'm Breanne Johnson. I'm the Communications and Development Coordinator.
And I'm Aaron Murphy. I'm the Accounting and Distribution Supervisor.
And Randy's mad at me. That's why he made me stay till the last. I'm Dave Kircher, Todd County Commissioner. And we've met already, so thank you.
Melissa, welcome. Welcome aboard. We
thank
appreciate
you.
All right, moving on. Library.
Mr. Chair, are we going to allow her to say something?
Well, I asked her. She didn't want to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. We always like to have a little background.
Bio here.
5 minutes.
Okay. I'm Melissa Fee. I live in Monticello with my husband, Ron, and my son, Brendan, who's a junior at Monticello High School. My son, Sean, is 22 and in his first big boy job in Madison, Wisconsin. I have taught for 29 years in the Annandale School District at the elementary school. I've been in the classroom, reading recovery teacher, media specialist, and I'm currently the literacy coach and intervention coach, along with teaching reading and reading recovery.
I really do believe Ms. Chairman Carlin and her can run the board from here on out. Between the two of them, they have more experience than.
Well, again, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
All right, moving on. Library Services Technology Act Grant Update.
Hello. Okay, so those of you at the Finance Committee heard a little bit about the grant. One piece of it, it has a number of pieces, so I'm going to give you an update, and we'll stay to the timeline, don't worry. Never figured out the lights in here. Okay, so those of you who don't know, or if you have forgotten, last summer, the Great River Regional Library System applied for an LSTA grant, and that is a federal grant administered through the state of Minnesota. And like Randy said, Library Services Technology Act is the official title of the grant. We received about $90,000 for our project, Breaking Down Barriers to Family Literacy. And it is a multi-pronged endeavor. There are a number of things that we have done with this money and are continuing to do with the money and are still trying to figure out how to do with the money. But I thought we'd give you a brief update today. And then Kate will talk about what she's doing with the grant, as well Will Hassan. So We didn't go into the grant alone. We worked with some community partners who we have a good relationship with, and we're our co-sponsors on the grant, and we've developed a lot of our resources and programs with them going forward. And they include Partner for Student Success. That's a group here in St. Cloud that does things. They're associated with United Way, and it's the school district, a bunch of nonprofits and other literacy organizations concerned with a number of things related to education, but notably the achievement gap between white students and students of color. Minnesota has one of the worst disparities in the nation. That's something they work on in the St. Cloud area. Central Minnesota Adult Basic Education is a consortium of 26 school districts. They go all the way from Staples down to Kimball, including St. Cloud, and they all work together. And Career Solutions, formerly known as the Stearns Benton Employment Training Council. I'm getting a nod. Yes. And they do, of course, workforce readiness, skills training, and those kinds of things. So they, all three of those groups kind of know needs in the community, right? So Partner for Student Success is concerned with, you know, K through 8 education. Central Minnesota ABE does a lot of things. They do English language learning. And Career Solutions for New Americans. And Career Solutions does things like workforce readiness, figuring out what to do about the Electrolux workers in St. Cloud, if you're not following. Like 1,000 and some people are going to lose their jobs at the end of this year because of the manufacturing plant that's closing. So Career Solutions is working to retrain those. Career Solutions is working to retrain those workers and make sure that they have English skills and that they have GEDs and that they have the computer skills necessary to reenter the workforce. And so what we came up with were conversation circles. So again, Minnesota ABE does these, and there are a lot of chances for people to learn to read and write English, but there aren't a lot of chances for them to practice speaking English. And that's obviously important if you want to have a job or talk with your doctor or your kid's teacher. And so we had staff trained from 11 libraries in Great River to facilitate these conversation circles. And it's when people can come and sit around and informally chat and practice their English in a fun, low-stress environment. But there is training for the facilitators. And again, 11 branches went through the training. A few libraries are currently offering conversation circles. A few are still about to get started. Parent and caregiver training. Myself and two other staff members became certified through the state of Minnesota to train daycare providers and families in early childhood literacy developing skills. So we've created a curriculum. We're going to start doing these workshops in St. Cloud and then probably Little Falls, we're thinking, down the road here, to teach daycare providers, parents, homeschool families, anybody who's interested, how they can help develop pre-literacy skills so that their children are ready for kindergarten. We know the impact that kindergarten readiness has on success later in school. We have resources, too, that we purchased with that money. The Minnesota Career Information System, it helps people develop resumes, it helps them find jobs, it gives them all kinds of practical tips in the employment search. And then there's also a student version. It tells you about the different programs in the state of Minnesota if you're continuing on to college, where you might want to study, the cost, the competitiveness of those programs, those kinds of things. And it also is available in 80% of high schools in the state of Minnesota, so kids are familiar with it. But again, homeschool families don't have access to that resource. They will now through the library. The other big thing that we're doing is the North Star Digital Skills Certification Program. So we bought access to this. Our staff are trained as proctors, and this ties into the Electrolux stuff, is where people can take these series of modules, and then they take tests, and they get certifications that they can go show an employer that says, hey, I've got these basic computer skills. I have this credential. That's an important thing in a competitive workplace. So in addition to providing that service, we're also doing a series of classes here in St. Cloud that we're going to start doing in Little Falls pretty soon, too. That happen every Friday, and so it covers a different module every Friday. We've been fortunate, not Hassan, but our other library cultural navigator has been helping out with those too and doing a lot of really good translating. So again, the program is more accessible to more people. And we also purchased an additional laptop lab with the money, and so we have more computers available for things like the digital skills classes, going to Electrolux. We've been working with a couple of groups there that are providing that skills training. I've done a few presentations out there on library resources and next steps for the workers who are going to lose their jobs. And so we've really fostered this collaborative environment, and we're working to kind of address these very kind of disparate goals at the same time. So again, this grant is very encompassing, but we're moving forward the best that we can with these different prongs. And then there will be staff training arranged to the Human Resources Department that will happen at our all staff day coming up, holy cow, in just a couple of days. And then finally, I'll let them speak to it, but we also hired two navigators, neither of whom are as blurry as they look in these pictures in real life. These are not good quality images, but you can see one in the flesh here. His name is Hassan. He's very nice. He'll tell you more. But what we originally did was advertise the position for 40 hours. The first person in the position didn't work out. She just had too much going on in her life. So we broke it down into two 25-hour week positions, which has afforded us a lot more staffing flexibility and has worked out pretty well. So Kate will tell you more, as will Hassan.
I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Kate Beekler. I'm a patron services librarian here at the library. My cube is in St. Cloud, but I do travel around to all the different libraries talking about how cool the library is. And I'm going to let Hassan introduce himself.
My name is Hassan Yusuf. I am here as a cultural navigator. I work a lot of places. I worked also at St. Cloud School District as a bilingual communication support. This is my second month working as a cultural navigator. I mostly work with students who are in high school, and we are really doing a good job in here. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's been really nice to have that connection already to the schools. It has been really, really beneficial. And so I have had people emailing me things about the work Habak and Hassan have been doing. So I'm going to start with an email I received, reading an email I received from a coworker. I will say that having Habak and Hassan here has been incredibly helpful with day-to-day things. There have been multiple occasions where communicating to a patron has been difficult due to language barriers, and on several instances, the navigators have stepped up to facilitate communication. And so one of the things we're working on is creating multilingual marketing materials. Hassan has offered to translate some of our notifications we send out to patrons into Somali, and so that's great. And one of the ways the navigators have been integral to the being part of the staff is signing people up for library cards. Go figure, more people will sign up for things once they know what they're getting into. So being able to communicate the expectations and the rules and what the library is and the services they can provide is an important part of that. And you know, people, collection retention is also a part of that. People are more likely to bring the materials back if they know that that's what's expected of them. So that's been really great. And then obviously the whole role of the cultural navigator is building a better connection to our community. And a couple of the ways we're working on that is the program advisory committee. So reaching out to community members for feedback about what's going on in the library. And then pop-up libraries and outreach events. We've been working with going out to schools, signing folks up for library cards, parents and children. We've been doing that at Discovery. And then also we have our big push for signing people up for library or the summer reading program. So we're going to be going out to schools and talking about what's going on here. Also bilingual programming. So Ryan has mentioned that Hassan has been doing conversation circles in the evening, both here in the library and at La Cruz. And so that's been good. And then and that's obviously part of the grant. But then Habak, somebody emailed me and said, Habak is invaluable to helping teach our North Star digital literacy classes. So as Ryan mentioned, these are new offerings. We cover things like Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint. And like you said, people can put that they're North Star certified on their resume. And that's great for job seekers and also just lifelong learners. So we're also reviewing the Library 101 program. That is a program my coworker Kelly does, and it focuses on teaching people about the library website, griver.org, and the catalog. And it's always great to have fresh eyes, look at it, and evaluate the program so that people who, like most of our patrons, don't have a library background, you know, see if we're getting too entrenched into jargon or things like that. And then also just translating has been really, really important. So another email from one of my coworkers. I think the library navigator is an essential position. It's so wonderful to have staff that can speak to the patrons in their language and have a better cultural understanding with the patrons we're attempting to serve. It's also vital to see our patrons, you know, reflected in the library staff. So do you have any closing, anything else to add? No, just been doing, yeah. Keeping time? All right, not too bad. So thank you very much for letting us come talk to you. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right.
All right, moving on. 617, insurance annuity beneficiary designation. We'll need board action on that. That was on page, what did I see now?
Hi.
I don't know, I see that was right in front of me. Yeah, page 3 in your brochures.
Hi, so again, I'm Brianne Johnson. I'm the Communications and Development Coordinator. And what we have in front of you is a life insurance beneficiary that we have received designated to Elk River. And within our paperwork in accepting this donation, there is needed, as you see within your packet, a board signature, both from Randy and Karen, and also notarized as well. So what this essentially is sending in a packet accepting the gift as we are the beneficiary.
Do you have a rough idea of the amount?
It is 4 different annuities through this life insurance, and it is totaling roughly $200,000.
Any comments or questions on that at all? It's a nice donation by this person or party.
Will that money stay in Elk River, or
that is where it is designated to? So yes,
it must stay.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? I should ask.
Mr. Chairman, does someone? I would assume somebody's organizing the family, the donor, or we're doing something somewhere, or don't we do that?
At this point, we have only received the paperwork to accept, which is what we have been going through. We haven't yet reached out to the family. The family is still in the process of going through their estate.
Because I think, Mr. Chairman, I think it would be appropriate, and I don't know if we dictate that or if Elk River does, but I think if we want to encourage, and I'm not on that fundraising, but I think a nice plaque saying, you know, recognizing if the family's open to it, I don't think would be a bad idea. One, to show our appreciation, and two, to kind of show people that make them think of this is something you might want to contribute to. It's my 2 cents worth.
And before I ask for my question would be, if I lose my train, what can they use these funds for? They can't use them for paying salary or like that, right? They only
That's
can use
Aaron
it.
Question.
In the paperwork, I didn't notice any stipulations, but typically we don't use gift money or grants or anything like that. Or, excuse me, let me back up. Gift money or donations for salaries. Honestly, they can use it for equipment. I guess they can use it for furniture, whatever they want to use it for at their branch.
So, but they do have, they could use it for salaries. It's not in any of our ordinances or any of that, or...
The accounting piece of that will be tricky. I think our first step is to figure out how to get the money in the door. The second step will be to figure out where to put it, because I think it does, with a donation of that size, it warrants some level of investment. Mm-hmm. I think if we get to the point of using for staffing, it probably makes more sense to designate it for a specific program or purpose rather than general staffing costs overall. We did not receive any communication outside of the information from the annuity at this point about what the intent of the donor was. We were one of 8 different organizations named in the estate. So we're still learning as we go through this process what the intent of the donor was.
So just kind of reiterating, what is in front of you is essentially just an approval of the contribution and Aaron and myself are also looking into, as Karen had mentioned, where that will live, which we have been looking into the community foundation to hold that fund.
I'll ask for a motion in a second.
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion. Lisa can second. Any more discussion?
One question.
Lee just had his hand up.
Wayne, let's go to start down there.
You know, this is for the library, and the city in Elk River owns the building itself. Do they lay any claim to this? Or is it strictly for Great River Reading Library, its facilities, books, and equipment?
I don't have the document in front of me.
It isn't designated that way, but I'm just asking the question just so that the city doesn't come back.
It's designated for Great River Regional Library, Elk River. So that's why we received the paperwork.
It did say that on the bottom. Yeah.
Good question. Lee?
Relative to recognition, before we, recognize folks for such a contribution, yes, permission. Because sometimes people donate and they want it to be anonymous. Mm-hmm. So not everyone, everyone's different. And yeah, it'd be, at some point, and this would be a happy problem, we probably ought to develop some sort of protocol for accepting gifts. But there's people around that can advise us.
Dan, you had a question?
Yes. This is for Aaron. Hey, has this happened before in this organization where there's been gifts donated that has been set aside for just one library?
Not this big, right?
Gifts this big?
Well, at all. I'm just wondering how this looks. I'm from an accounting standpoint. When everything's run through this organization and everything is set aside for one library, how does that look on the accounting standpoint?
Well, this type of donation from from a life insurance policy, we wouldn't probably keep that in our coffers. That's where Central Minnesota Community Foundation comes in. We would be taking the payments over to them. They put it in their bank and reinvest it for us.
Okay.
We have gotten, $10,000 gifts, $30,000 gifts, $13,000 gifts in the past. But most of those have not been, quote, branch designated. But none of them have ever been this large. That since I've been working here, that I've never seen one this big.
We have received branch designated.
Oh, yes, we get them all the time, but not to the tune of this.
And you do it the same way when you get them now? How do you just...
Why don't you talk about how Locally Grown works?
Okay. Locally Grown, what basically that is, people donate across the desk. They give their money. We receipt it into our system. The cash comes upstairs. The accounting department counts it, verifies it, deposits it, and then we post whatever, let's say St. Cloud had $500. So we would take that $500, we would put it on their gift fund spreadsheet, and we would post it on the accounting homepage for staff to view so they know where their gift fund amounts are at.
Okay.
It could go into a gift fund, but I would advise not doing that because the money that we get from this annuity, we're going to want to invest that to get earnings on it.
Okay. That helps.
Any more discussion? Going back to Dan's question. So this is a large amount, obviously, but if somebody gives $100 and they designate to whatever library, then who's the decision maker? How does that money being spent? Is it the city council or from?
It's the library service coordinator at the branch. It wouldn't be a city council because it's not city funds; it's our funds.
So that library coordinator Karen would not have any say. So okay.
Well, Karen normally
party, I would say no.
Well, yeah. I understand. Very good point.
Well, it still goes through our normal accounting processes. So I would have to sign.
Karen doesn't normally get involved with the gift fund accounts unless it's somebody gives it to her to use her discretion to spend, which other than that, we leave it up to the LSCs to decide what they want to use it for.
And you do see all of those bills as part of the bills. If you look on the bill sheet, you'll see if there's been gift expenditures and who and what that's been paid to. So that does go through our normal billing.
And as just a side note for something like this, being over the Community Foundation, what would basically happen in a nutshell is the Elk River branch would put through a request to withdraw funds for a specific purpose. That would come up here, get approval, we would send it over to the community foundation to have them cut a check. They would cut the check and send it to the Elk River branch or send it up here or however they do it. And then the branch could go out and purchase whatever it is that they're buying.
So there is a little bit of a filter as to how it's spent then.
Correct. It's not full autonomy at the branch level, no. Yep.
Okay, good.
Any more discussion? Lee.
Brianna's in the process of developing a relationship with Central Minnesota Community Foundation. They've been in business 35 years, and their footprint now is sort of kind of like Great Rivers' footprint in terms of having branches, for example, in Brainerd and Wilmer, Cold Spring, and so forth. So they will be a valuable source of information on the way to handle this going forward, not only donations that we already have, but how to handle those in the future and how to develop a network of folks that are potential donors. So I'm kind of fired up about, Brianna isn't very far into this, but I'm fired up about the initiation of that relationship. We will come off eventually as fairly informed, inspired newbies to this effort.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. All right, page 7 in your booklet, Library Development Plan Process. Again, it will be a request in action.
So you may recall in 2016 we passed a library what we called a library assessment plan at that time. We currently have a library development policy that indicates we'll review that every 3 years. So I framed this in the language of the policy rather than the existing plan because this would be an update. So what we've done since 2016 is listed there. I think as I was compiling this document, I was kind of taken aback by how much we actually had accomplished in what was a fairly short amount of time. So it's definitely a plan that we're using and is on the ground. And since this is the year to update it, what I'm proposing here is that there's only a couple of areas that we really need to go over. One is the library open hours recommendations. Those were first developed from data in 2010, so they need to be looked at, especially in those locations where we've added open hours based on the recommendations to see what the impact is and tweak how we move forward. The facility assessments, you've been updated on several of the facilities over time. A lot of those have come to resolution. There's a few that are hanging out there, Waite Park, Howard Lake, I'm forgetting, Cold Spring. So those will be ones that we would bring back with some further information and ask the board for recommendations how to move forward. Alternative services, there's things in that list that no longer exist. One of them is called Overdrive Download Station. So we need to take a look at that list of alternative services that we would offer to a community that might not have a library, make sure that that's up to date and include any new technologies that might be out there. So what we're proposing is that we take a look at all of that and the Sartell pilot project with the hope of bringing that review to you in October as part of the October work session. The last round, we did have board members on the committee. If the board is interested in that, we're certainly open to it with the timeline that might be a bit prohibitive. And the reason I'm recommending that we bring this forward at the October work session is so that this can inform where we go with the strategic planning process, which will need to be wrapped up next year. And that's the next document in your packet. So
I will ask for a motion, a second, and then more discussion for the library development plan process. I have a motion, second.
I'll second that.
I have a motion, a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Page 9 in your packet, strategic plan process 21-25.
Strategic plan, we passed a while ago. We need to do one every 5 years for the state in order for us to continue to receive our state funding. That being said, we've had a very active plan from the strategic planning process, and I feel pretty strongly that we have a pretty good framework to work from, so I don't want a complete overhaul because I think we would lose momentum in developing a whole new plan. So if you look on page 10, what I'm proposing is that we take a look at all the data that we have and just see what we've got. We've got the update of the library development plan, which we just talked about. I propose that we complete the EDGE assessment. Again, they just released that in a 2.0 version. The EDGE assessment is a national library public technology services benchmarking tool. And from that tool last time, which was free to us, we developed standards like all public service staff need to be trained in delivering basic public library technology across the desk, that each library should be able to at least for 10 minutes help somebody on a computer if they walk in the door on demand. And so those standards have been very valuable benchmarks to work from. I haven't yet seen what the 2.0 version is. They just released it last month. The caveat here is that is a big chunk of what I have as the estimated cost. My initial quote was $2,500 for us to do it this time because it's now gotten national attention and it's off of a grant model, so now it's a self-sustaining model. It's up to the board whether we'd want to explore spending money for that tool, but I can say that we talked about it at leadership team and we feel like it would be a valuable exercise again because it would allow us to prioritize which areas of service we should focus on in the next 5 years. We may also be able to get a different rate if the state of Minnesota, State Library Services, subscribes to a statewide subscription. I talked to the state librarian last week. She's open to the idea, but there needs to be enough libraries across the state of Minnesota for them to be willing to invest. So that's still an open discussion. We have the St. Cloud State user and non-user survey. We can dig into that data. We can compare it with the results from the 2015 survey. We'll take a look at what we set for strategic plan targets last time and see how we did. And we've been doing that over every quarter for the last 4 years. But what have we learned is something we haven't really dug into. We also have community meeting summaries from all of the communities we've been to. Eagle Bend was the most recent. We'll be in Richmond, I think, next week. So we'll be taking all of that feedback in aggregate. We want to take a look at our county cities and see where the goals are. I think the community priorities are already out there. Greater St. Cloud Development Corporation's already developed it for the Greater St. Cloud area. So see what there is in common and pull from that. We'll reconduct the staff engagement survey this year where that was already scheduled, and then take a look at if there's still gaps, and if there are, pull some focus groups together. Like a couple years ago we did staff members who homeschool to get a better picture of how to serve the homeschooling community. And then one of the areas I'd like to explore is maybe developing more local goals for each library. Last round we had local action plans where each library identified a user group that, a resident group that wasn't using the library and targeted them. That was a fairly powerful model, and I think there could be some value in developing goals at the library level rather than the regional level as part of the plan, so that over the next 5 years each community library has goals aligned with their community. It may take a little bit more to get there, but I think it would be worth the time. Our goal would be to have all of that work completed in time for the April work session next year, and then do a facilitated goal setting workshop there between staff, the board, maybe stakeholders, similar to what we did with the fundraising plan last year. And so it'd be a larger group, be a work session, but we could kind of dig into what we've found and have a framework for people to react to. I've already been in contact with the facilitator who had helped with East Central Regional Library strategic plan, and she would be willing to come here. So I've included that in the estimated cost. She said one of their challenges was getting board members to speak up I assured her that would not be a problem here. We'd have much different challenges. But I think that would be a useful exercise. And if we do it by April of next year, that would still give us enough time for us to pass it in November. So that's my full proposal.
I'll ask for a motion, a second, and more discussion. I need a motion.
I'll move it.
I have a motion. I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair, but Karen, instead of maybe, it's maybe hard for the board to be directly involved in both of these items, the last one and this one, on an ongoing basis, but I don't know which body would be the most appropriate, maybe the full board or one of the committees, to just give a 10-minute recap and get some interaction at that level to take back to your work sessions. Or maybe a board member's, I mean, if we can have a board member or two actively engage in that, it's not going to hurt from an outside perspective, but not everybody's going to have time to do that.
Right.
But minimally, if the board chooses not to, minimally at least we could have some interaction at a meeting, you know, board meeting or a committee meeting, where we could give some reaction to five high points or something.
We can bring it back to the full group, or if you want to assign people, I'm open to either.
I think we'd almost, Mr. Chairman, I think we'd almost have to go for volunteers of who could and would want to. But again, short of that, if we can't get that, at least we could have a 10-minute discussion and some minimum interaction at a meeting.
And any more discussion?
I was wondering how much that edge would cost.
About $2,500 of that $3,000.
I see.
That's included.
It's based on your budget size. So I called the director of the edge to try to plead hardship, but it didn't work.
So Karen, you have somebody coming in if we approve this. This is a lot of information to compile by. Who would do it if this person would?
It'll be
in
the management team.
It would be, okay. Mm-hmm.
We may bring coordinators in, but because the timeline between these two projects, we're talking two really big projects. I want to make sure that the conversation keeps moving forward. We'll still engage staff. Like, I've got the small group meetings that I typically do in the fall as an opportunity to engage staff, and we'll have the staff engagement survey. I think buy-in's one of the biggest components of a successful strategic plan. That's what we had last time. So that's why I included that as a suggestion for that April work session next year also. I don't think we can have all 280 staff and all of the board in the same room and really accomplish a lot. But if we have some staff who are interested and invested come to that work session, it worked fairly well with the fundraising plan last year.
And I think moving forward, Jeff had a good point, is I think we should appoint, if somebody wants to, you know, of the board members to be on here. I mean, not now, but down the road, or we could take that out there too if anybody would be interested in being on this strategic plan.
Mr. Chairman, what I'd recommend is maybe Karen in an email to the board just real quickly say, you know, like when the meetings are gonna be, what, you know, a little bit more detailed, more detailed, but a little bit more of a, and then have board members just more respond info, and say, sure, I'd be open to being on that or whatever, and then go from there. Just maybe provide a little bit more information.
Any more discussion? Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Mary.
This $3,000, when is this? This would be spent this year, right?
Edge assessment would probably be this year. The facilitator might be next year, probably, the way I've got it structured here. So, and that's my best guess at what the total
but
would
be. But it's not budgeted for this year, is it?
Neither of them are budgeted, but it's a small enough amount that we can absorb it within the existing budget line.
Thank you.
Lee?
Yeah, the two sides of the argument for engaging an outside entity, the against argument is, well, you folks should be taking on, meaning us, should be taking on in that responsibility because that's your job. Well, the other side of the argument is that using an outsider, especially if it's an outsider with experience doing this kind of stuff, they can add input that we might not wrap our heads around. So it, and in addition, it does offer a degree of arm's length association in that they might come up with something that is a tough sell, and it puts us in a position to say, well, the person we hired had this experience at that location, and that's why that's in there. So, you know, you can't win, you can't lose. It's, let's do it.
Any more discussion? Not? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Finance Committee report.
Mr. Chair and members, our group met just prior to this meeting, and we looked over the first quarter financial report. We've added three CDs to our profile, and the rates are holding steady, and it really was a great forward-thinking option for the staff to suggest for us, because we're making some good progress with our CDs with regard to cash. All counties have paid their signatories at this point, so we're all in 50%. Our operating budget is at 25.63%, is exactly where we should be for first quarter. And we had two budget requests, department budget requests for the 2020 budget come before us. The first one being an attempt to show some parity with some of our part-time pay for aides with holiday pay, and we did approve that. That's based on wages and hours, and you guys all get this information correct, so yes, you can look that over more. And then the second one was the Bilingual Library Cultural Navigator, which is happening right now. It's the presentation that we had earlier in the meeting. The position was originally funded through a Library Services and Technology Act grant, and there was a request to have this be a three-year program funded out of our library funds to the tune of $24,300 per year, and that request was denied by the Finance Committee.
Do I have a motion to approve the...
With that, I would move approval of the finance report.
All right, a second?
I'll second it.
Any more discussion?
Question.
Mary.
So we've spent all that grant money already?
No, that grant will end September 30th. So this is for the 2020 budget.
Oh, I see. Yep.
Any more questions, comments?
One more question. It seems to be working. Right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And why did the Finance Committee decline?
I can answer that.
Go ahead,
that. Randy. This came up like 6 months ago when it came to us, and it's always, you know, they dangle the carrot, whether it's the federal or state, with these grants. Okay, and then all of a sudden, and this happens at the county level, has a lot of different levels, that now it's our turn to take it on. And then Ryan's here too to answer that question about, is it successful? The question was posed to him that, you know, does he have data showing, is it helping? And to my knowledge, you did not have any data to show that, correct?
Anecdotal. It's hard because it's a new position. So how do you evaluate it? And so my proposal was for an additional 3 years to try to figure out how to evaluate it without taking on the burden of the new salary indefinitely. So we've met the goals that we've outlined, most of which are qualitative in the grant application, and it's successful by that measure. But if you're looking for hard, concrete data, I really don't know how to provide that. I mean, we don't count how many Somali speakers now have library cards. I can tell you anecdotally, it's a lot more than did in September. But I just don't know how to quantify it beyond that. But we've met the goals we set out for ourselves. So we've done that.
Thank you, Rand. Any more comments or questions? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange Board.
I did not prep anyone for this, but I understand there was a meeting and everyone was there. Who was supposed to be there? So, no, you weren't supposed to be there.
So I believe it was Lee, Carlin, Mary, and Jane were all there. And it sounds like Jane got a tour, too.
I did. Very nice. I could say a few words about it.
If you don't use your hands.
Okay. I'll try not to. We have some banking issues. We're going to move some accounts from TCF to Bremer Bank. Not using my hands. And they would like to change the name of the, they'd like to get rid of the word exchange in the name of the of our group. So if you have any ideas, Carlin is on that group to change the name. And we also signed a lease for 3 years in the building that we're at, which I wasn't able to find because I came here first and then ended up over by Target, where I didn't realize it was. So we signed the lease for 3 years, but we are able to break it after 2 years if we would like. Anything else that we discussed?
Well, you got two other folks, Carlin and Mary. What's your
and Lee. And you.
The group.
I think we have to cut Lee off. He's talked enough. Let's get some information.
Also decided to adopt a salary grid for the two employees and placed them on the grid, and so that will be implemented going forward.
All right, go ahead, Lee, if you have.
I have nothing to add.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Good job. I don't have to let Lee.
The group is. I won't say they're floundering, but we've had sufficient turnover in the group that folks are still. Adjusting to the mission and the path forward. But there is some promise. You got an enthusiastic, animated director, and what she is doing and has been able to do is to get all the different kinds of libraries sort of kind of on the same page. And there's a limit to what they can do because the libraries have specific purposes, but when you look at the membership of that board, the 1, 2, 4 of us were the largest one entity representative group, and the other ones are range from school libraries to local libraries, etc. So, interesting group. I'm not the old veteran there, but been around enough. If they want to really sink their teeth into it, they have the opportunity to do some good, and we'll see where it goes.
Anything else?
I have one more comment. Yes, we have an enthusiastic director. Most of the members are schools. Public schools. So I think that's where predominantly a lot of their service goes. We're members, but you know, I'm not sure that we use them for anything, do we?
No. Well, what I've told her in the past, because I think their budget's like $170,000, and their mission is to serve all types of libraries. Our region is best served if they focused on the schools. We don't need their scholarships to send people to training. We've got a training budget that's much more sizable than most of their members. So I've told them not to give our staff scholarships and not to give our libraries grants because the need in the region and in East Central is much greater than what benefit we would get from the receiving funds from them directly. We can change that approach, but... It just seems like the most logical thing to do.
Well, and the scholarships are small, generally $250 or $300 or something like that. So,
I mean, we've got locally grown campaigns that will raise more than that, and we can do more by just supporting them as an organization, supporting our schools, I think.
Anything else? All right. Thank you for that. St. Cloud Library lease update. Karen, I'll put you on that one.
Oh, really? I don't think so.
well, again, I met with him, it's been over a month already, I think it has been, right?
End of March, yeah.
So, moving forward, again, I talked to him about our lease. I brought, Lee brought up a point at one of the other libraries, why should we do a lease? Because they're asking for, what was the square footage? It was moving up from like $7 to $12.
A square foot.
For square foot to, for the lease. And, you know, all the other libraries, I mentioned to them, you know, we all have contracts except for theirs. But that one, again, I'm going to side with Lee on that one. It's kind of like, why do we want a new lease if that's going to be a sticking point? You know, that, hey, let's just continue going. Because the old lease or our old agreement states that if we don't have a lease, it kicks back to our lease that we currently have right now. So, you know, my opinion is that he's kind of was in the dark about everything going on here. Because go ahead.
Mr. Chair, could you just clarify who you met with?
Oh, yeah, good
with,
point.
I met there's the, many yeah,
I met
people
with
that
the mayor
might not
of the
know.
City of St. Cloud.
The mayor of the city.
And very nice gentleman. You know, very informative as far as what he was trying to tell me. He listened well. We both listened. It was, you know, nice conversation piece. But what I base it on, there's other people in his organization that are kind of pulling the strings for this. You know, that he, I'm sure he's got other things on the plate. I don't think this was a priority for him, the lease, my opinion. So that was not, I also brought up, they weren't paying, if you can bring that up too, but they weren't paying their bills on time. And again, he kind of just got the deer in the head, like, okay, why aren't we paying our bills? And I explained to him what was going on. I explained to him about Wally, the book sorter down there, that there's a discrepancy. Whose is? Is it the city's responsibility, or is it the library's responsibility? And again, correct me if I'm wrong. It's 80-20, is that what it is?
82-18. 82-18,
yeah. So it's a tech. Yeah. So it's 82% in their court, 18%. And so if there's something goes wrong, that's what the old contract says again. So that's not a bad contract. So I don't know what else we could do, but I can say he did listen on a few things, and I think you met with him after that too, right?
Right. So I spoke with Randy after he met with the mayor and sent an email to the city administrator indicating the conversation had happened, and shortly afterward we did meet, he and I, and came to what seems to be a tentative agreement, maybe a 10-year contract. It's under the existing formula with one change, and that would be currently everything is split 82-18. The city reimburses Great River for 82% of custodial salaries. Great River pays for 82% of the building costs, including the AMHS. So the change would be the AMHS would be split out as a separate area of the contract, and over time, Great River's percentage of the responsibility for the maintenance would change. The city would still retain ownership. So at the end, we would be at 82% of the maintenance on the AMHS, and 18% would be the city's. I have not heard back from the city on whether that was actually acceptable when he went back to his table. So I'm still waiting on that. But since then, they have paid the AMHS bill. That was outstanding. And we have settled up on last year's lease agreement. So we are seeing activity moving forward that we hadn't been seeing before. And it sounds like that was communicated back, because I did speak to someone yesterday from the city who was aware of the discussion. So I'm still waiting to hear a response from the city administrator. I did send him an email at the end of last week asking where things were at, and I have not heard back on that email.
And I did reiterate to him, I said, now, if there's no discussion going on, I says, I'm going to let him know. So like, we have discussions going on, but if it goes, you know, maybe 2 weeks, a month tops, I'm going to give him a call personally again and say, hey, what's going on here, you know? So I appreciate what Karen did too. So if there is a lease agreement, that square footage, is that going to go back to the same, or are they going to increase that?
Well, I didn't have Aaron back figure what that cost would be over time, but the real challenge is we don't really know what the cost of the AMHS maintenance
right.
will be
yep.
in 10 years. So if we take a different approach in maintaining it and not necessarily going back to our current vendor and saying, yeah, we want that $40,000 maintenance contract, we just want to license the software and pay for things as they break, even that could bring the total cost down for everybody. So I think that's something we will do no matter what. And so it's hard to put a price tag on it, but it's going to be closer to that.
I know
Automated materials handling
system.
And
what is that? That's Wally.
That's Wally.
For the new people. That's our sorting machine, up, down, wherever.
I did point it out on the tour list.
Did you? Oh, you had a tour. Good. Okay. I didn't want to know. It took me 2 years to find out where Wally is.
He comes up a lot.
Yeah.
So,
Mr. Chairman, the board discussed that. Does he know? And obviously, he didn't. So that meeting was productive that the mayor now does know. And obviously, the bill is getting paid. And then yesterday in the audit outtake meeting, if they don't come to an agreement, we might not have to be too or as concerned. It's going to hurt them because now the new GASB, what is it, 87?
87.
GASB 87 auditors keep adding so they can charge more for audits.
Right.
It's going to be leases. And it's going to hurt the city of St. Cloud a lot more. It won't hurt us at all if they don't have a lease. So if we don't get a lease this year, we'll get a lease next year because it'll financially pinch them.
And again, I had Aaron do a little background check on the city of St. Cloud's financial. I don't know if you could kind of, they don't have the money that they said they did. I mean, it's just not there for this Great River Regional Library. I was just thinking, yeah, sure, it's not there, but they didn't designate any money for Great River, for the building.
Right, there's a... Now you put me on the spot. There is something that's expiring. I can't remember if it's bonding money, something that directly goes into the operating line for this building, and that's expiring within the next year.
Something, it was less than a year.
I think. And so that's one of the drivers behind the city wanting to recoup some of the costs of the building more than they had in the past, because they don't have something to backfill those dollars. And that backfilling is going to come from their reserve, which was tapped 3 times in the last 2 years because of the fire, the chiller, and the boiler incidents. So their reserves aren't where they're supposed to be, plus the revenue line is going to be less in the coming budget year.
So there you kind of have it in a nutshell. Lee?
In a... new lease, and well, you'll get it eventually. But punchline is maybe it would result in better customer service if we do have an emergency or an extraordinary expense come up. If Great River could actually pay for it. And offset that against subsequent rent payments. I think that what our what we want to do. I'm sure what we all want to do is, continue business as usual, and we don't want something held up. That's part of our operation. That's waiting for the city to get over here and fix it.
That was one. I brought that up too. I always bring up this window that doesn't leak in the wintertime, during a rain upstairs or someplace in the offices. But that they didn't send anybody out to repair that, did they?
I have not heard you.
So that's still one of those two.
Yep.
Who owns the building? Is it? And that gentleman that was here a year or two ago, he says if you tip her upside down, whatever falls out, that's the
Great Rivers.
Whatever's hanging on, that's the city of St. Cloud. And I thought that was a pretty good interpretation.
Good analogy.
So there you anything go. Else on that?
Good job, Randy.
Yeah. Thank you, Randy. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I appreciate that.
I had to bring in the big guns once in a while.
Yeah, I never swore one time, ma'am. All right.
Can you tape it next time? I'd like to see Randy in a short sleeve plaid shirt with Dave with his tie.
Yeah, that's what he was, yeah. Yeah, he was a lot. But I wasn't intimidated, trust me. Next meeting, May 21st.
Oh, before we adjourn, this just came in the mail. 30-year celebration of the St. Michael Albertville Hanover Library. The Friends would like to invite all of you to their May 4th event. It is from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, May 4th, in the City Hall Chambers in St. Michael.
You want to go to that?
All right. They will have hot dogs, chips, and cookies.
Oh, music.
I know
Michael's
there.
Prizes.
Beer.
The full board will probably be at 6.
Okay. Yeah. Full board at 6 o'clock on the 21st. Motion to adjourn? Okay, nothing. We adjourned.